I actually had a terrific conversation with Delaney Kazan a few years ago about DVT.
Oh, yes.
And she told me that DVT can affect lungs as well as extremities. And so I was just wondering, along those lines, if you could tell me what symptoms we family caregivers need to be looking out for. It seems like it's not just problems with our legs.
That's absolutely correct. And just to give you a little background about myself, my husband was covering the war in Iraq for NBC News, David Bloom, 39 years old, pain in his legs, but he was in the middle of a war zone, so he didn't really pay much attention to leg cramps. But after mentioning leg cramps, he died only 2 days later. So what Lainey Kazan is referring to regarding the lungs is it's the same clot. The deep vein thrombosis, or DVT, is the same clot that actually originates in the legs, and it can and oftentimes is fatal when that clot or a piece of it breaks loose, and then it travels to the lungs. And when it hits the lungs, even though it's still the same clot or piece of clot, it's called a pulmonary embolism, or PE. So DVT and PE are essentially one and the same, only the DVT is in the deep veins of the leg, and when it hits the lungs, it's called a PE. And that's sadly what took my husband's life, is when it hit the lungs, he didn't have a chance. So.
I have to tell you, I am and have always been an unabashed news junkie. And I was a big fan of your husband's work for NBC. And it was a shock. It was a shock to hear how he died in Iraq. And it was actually the first time I heard about DVT. So,
Oh, Gary, me too. Me too. That's
I
I've
know.
never heard of it before. And so to
No.
lose, the most important person in your life from something you don't even know about, it's pretty hard to swallow that. And thank you for saying that you enjoyed his work. That means a lot.
I really did, and I noticed that you got that phone call in the middle of the night where they said, well, it was actually DVT, and that must have been the first time you've heard about it, obviously.
That's the first time.
Tell us, so just if you could give me a backgrounder on what it means, what it is, when you say DVT.
DVT, it stands for deep vein thrombosis, and essentially it's a blood clot that forms in the deep veins, usually in the legs. And as I mentioned, it's the clot itself can cause significant problems, especially I know with your readers. There probably are a lot of people with MS or who are confined to wheelchairs or who are in assisted living facilities or hospitals. And what happens is whenever the flow of blood is restricted in those lower limbs, for example, in David's case, even though he was young and fit and healthy, he was sleeping night after night with his knees pulled up to his chin in a cramped tank, and he was dehydrated. And I know a lot of people also who probably, are caregivers or deal with people who, it's hard to get them to remember to drink their water and stay fully hydrated. And so those are two of David's risk factors, blocking the flow of circulation in his legs and being dehydrated. Now, sometimes you've heard of economy class syndrome. People on long airplane rides can develop a clot in the leg because they're just seated and the blood can pool in the lower limbs. So it's so important for people in it, it's by the way, deep vein thrombosis is the number one cause of preventable hospital death in our nation. And yet there's still a real miss. There's a lot of people who aren't aware at all about this condition. So that's what deep vein thrombosis is. And as I mentioned, it can cause problems in the leg just by having a clot there. It can cause pain, discomfort, swelling, redness, tenderness to the touch. But it's actually more dangerous. In fact, they said that my husband was limping a little bit when he was complaining of a leg cramp. He had a limp. But it's actually much more deadly when it leaves the leg, because then it's on its way to your lungs. And when it hits the lungs, it can actually feel, I've had it described to me many different ways from many different sufferers, but it has been described as a heart attack. They feel like they're having a heart attack. They have extreme pain in the chest. Or it can feel as subtle as just having a difficulty getting a deep breath. One person described it as breathing, you know, breathing in but feeling like they're not getting enough air, not really pain. So anything in between. So anything, if you have a pain in your leg and then you're having difficulty breathing, I would recommend you call your doctor right away.
Are those, and I know the statistic about hospital deaths, and it's shocking because it does seem incredibly preventable. If you're a caregiver who has a loved one who is immobilized, who's in bed, who, you know, hasn't walked in a while, what are those symptoms? Do they have to say, gosh, my leg cramps, or I feel like I'm having a, is there anything you can do? Should you constantly move the legs? What should you do?
You're exactly right. It's so important in any setting, whether you're in a, like you say, wheelchair, hospital bed, airplane, even sitting at your desk for long periods of time, keep moving. And if you can't get up and walk around, we have developed, we being the Coalition to Prevent DVT, we have partnered with Marianne Wilson, who has a PBS show called Sit and Be Fit. And it's a series of very simple movements, but very effective movements to force the blood to circulate in the legs. And I can give you, we have all of these demonstrated on videos on our website, which I can give you.
Sure.
And that's preventdvt.org, preventdvt.org. And for example, just pumping your foot up, if you're sitting on a plane or in a wheelchair, just taking your foot and pumping it up and down as if you're depressing a gas pedal. And a caregiver can help the person they're caring for and help show them that movement. They can't do it themselves. The caregiver can do it for them and just take their foot and bring it up and down, both feet. Another one is a simple ankle circle where you can do all of this sitting down or laying down. You just take your ankle and circle it round and round and then go the other direction, round and round. And just doing those simple movements once every hour, if you're on a flight or in a hospital bed, just remembering to pump those feet and circle those feet. There are several others that are demonstrated by Marianne Wilson on our website that are very effective also. But something as simple as that can help with preventing a DVT. Now, some people need more aggressive preventive treatment, and a doctor can determine, you know, whether blood thinners should be employed or compression stockings. These are other ways that people can prevent clots from forming, but just for everyone's good health, and certainly people who are immobile, movement is key. Just moving, gentle movement of the legs and lower extremities.
Well, you mentioned the Coalition to Prevent Deep Vein Thrombosis, and I've been on the website. I think you're doing tremendous work. Can you tell us how we can get involved, what else the Coalition is doing, just some of the work of the Coalition?
Oh, my goodness, just having an interview with you is a huge way to get involved. We thank you for that. We are always welcoming members. We now have 70 members of medical societies, hospital organizations, everything from the ACCP to the Society of Hospital, HCA group and LeapFrog. And so there's a wonderful membership that we enjoy, and we can send you that information. I believe it's also on our website. And we would love to count you as one of our members with the Coalition. Our website is also interactive, so there are places on there where people can write in their own stories about DVT and submit those, and we use those sometimes in our awareness work. And then we just today, as of today, went on Facebook.
Oh, great.
So I need my daughters to teach me how to do it, but
I know it.
Yeah, we'll have Facebook now. So.
I'm so last century sometimes. Now I have Facebook and I have Twitter accounts and I tweet. I don't even know what I'm talking about when I say these words.
Hey, at least you're doing it. That's great. We also have a public service announcement that we would love to send you. It's also on our website. But what we have found in some of our hospital organizations is they put that sometimes in the waiting room of certain hospitals on a loop, you know, so that they can reach their patients who are sitting there. Some of the airlines, we've been in discussion to see whether or not they might be interested in doing that as well. And I think in some assisted caregiving facilities, that would be nice, you know, to have sort of a run the PSA and sort of make people aware. It's a public service announcement, just sort of saying, saying, you know, here's what DVT is.
As someone who flies a lot, I really think that the idea of having that run in the airline, you'll have everybody doing exercises as soon as they see it.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah,
you know, it's harder to get up now with all of the buckle your belts, and they don't let you roam the, you know, the aisles anymore since 9/11, and understandably so. But now you're stuck in the seat.
And the seats are getting smaller and smaller.
Oh, I know, it's uncomfortable, and these are so easy to do. And I fly a lot too with this work with the coalition, and I'm doing them, you know. And I think I was ticking off some of the risk factors that my husband had. I mentioned dehydration. I mentioned, you know, restricted mobility.
Right.
But as you age, your risk increases. So being over 40, now he was only 39, but the older we get, sort of the more sluggish our blood can become. So that's another one. And then cancer, we find a high level of DVTs that form in cancer patients. So I think if you have been on a website, looking at that list would be helpful for caregivers to know, you know, well, gee, I'm caring for someone who, you know, is in a wheelchair and has been diagnosed with cancer and can't move much. They should definitely be helping them to do these very simple lower leg movements, either demonstrating and teaching them to do it, or if they're unable to move on their own, to help them with those movements.
Well, and it's so important because it's one of these things that if you know about it, if you've heard about it, you might think, obviously, of David, but you also might think, oh, well, I don't fly. Why does this affect me? Which is why we want to get this story out as often as possible, because it's a huge effect for family caregivers.
Huge. It really is. And, you know, every year in our nation, there are 2 million people who suffer from deep vein thrombosis. And out of that, approximately 300,000 people die from this. And that's more than AIDS and breast cancer combined. But you can talk to anybody and they know about HIV prevention and breast cancer awareness, but you'll say DVT and people say, huh?
Right.
You know, just like I did. What? What is this? So it's just a little known condition that wreaks havoc with people's lives. And we're really trying to, you know, get people to find out about DVT, not in the way my daughters and I did. You know, we don't want another family to suffer from something that can be prevented.
No, of course not. And there you are working so hard around the clock to help your loved one dealing with whatever diseases or illnesses they're dealing with. And because you didn't have this information, they get stricken by something out of the blue, seemingly. So this is I think this is important for any caregiver to know about.
I do too, absolutely.
I'm really taken by the tell your story part of the site. I think, and that's what we do with today's Caregiver Magazine. I remember we started 15 years ago, and after the first issue, I heard from a caregiver. I don't know how the magazine got out there, but it was in Peoria, if I remember correctly, and. She said she had written a poem about caregiving that she thought was silly and I wouldn't like. But, you know, heck, she wanted to send it to me. And I was crying as it came in over the fax. And the best stories and the advice and the poems and the information that touches people the most generally comes from their fellow caregivers. So the idea of the story section on your website, I think, is going to touch a lot of people.
It's so powerful. It really is. And when David passed away, we received, just really blew us away, that we received over 80,000 cards, notes, and letters of condolence. But as I was going through the letters, about every 8 to 10 letters, someone would literally say, I saw this story on the news. You know, my husband or my whatever, you know, had pain. We went to the hospital. David saved my life, you know, and it's really interesting to hear from people out there who just needed a spotlight on this. You know, that it needed to be illuminated some way, and I wish it hadn't been David, but you know, it was. And I think if nothing else, you know, that's a beautiful legacy for him to know that other lives have been saved.
I think it is. I really do. And you know, it's it takes a family to pick up the mantle and say, wait a second, I want to make sure this doesn't happen to other people. So you're really a caregiver's caregiver.
Oh, I like that. I'll put that on my business card.
There you go.
Yeah, that's nice.
And Melanie, what would be the one most important piece of advice you'd like to leave family caregivers with?
That's a really great question. I have two answers, because one speaks to the personal side, which is cherish the time you do have with those you are caring for, because life is fleeting. And the other part would be DBT awareness hat, and that is to just say, remind people that DBT will take 300,000 lives this year, and yet you, with simple measures and with awareness, you can prevent that from happening to those you care for. And so to learn more, be proactive in your healthcare and the healthcare of those you care for.